acquaintances, but relationships that go deeper than surface is something that not many of us have. And so we need each other. We need each other to encourage one another, to pray and to walk alongside of each other, hold each other accountable to this mission that God has given us. And so over the last several weeks, here recently, we have focused in on the mission. If we're to be a part of this mission, what does that look like? How is that fleshed out in the day-to-day walk? And so today, we'll continue that, but what I want to look at and really focus on is where this strength comes from. Who is at work? Why? What is our dependence upon? Who is our dependence upon? And I think that you'll see that as we dive in. Because here is my fear, and one of the things I've identified in my own life is that we can live our lives for Christ in such a way where we've really gotten the big sins or the big things out of our life. And if we're not careful, what we'll start to do is we'll start to coast. And in coasting, what happens is we become self-reliant. We think, maybe not say it with our mouths, but with our actions, we show that, you know, I've got this. I can do this on my own. And so the reliance and dependence upon God has become, at least I've noticed in my own life, it's really pushed to the side. And so today, here is my prayer, and it's a lofty one. My prayer is that as we dive in and seek God's word, that he will lead us to a dependency upon him each moment of each day. And that this mission that he's called us to do, which is to make disciples who make disciples, is that we will go and run to our knees and to the face of God and seek him for that. Because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:12, he says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall. There are times when we feel like we've come to this place where I know things, I've lived them out, I've gotten these things out of my life, and if we're not careful, we will fall. And so let us take heed. Let us pay attention. Let us run to the face of God. And so if you can, if you don't mind, stand with me as we read today in Ephesians chapter 6. We will start in verse 10. Now he opens this section off and he says, finally. Now what he's doing is he's closing out this letter and he says, finally. But he gives us this strong command. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. In other words, he doesn't say muster up this strength. He doesn't say, hey, you out there, you've got it figured out, so be strong. But no, he says, be strong in the Lord. Trust him. This is huge for us to understand because we just live in a culture who says you got it. You know, you can be whoever you want to be. But here, this challenge to us today is to be strong, but don't think you're strong in and of yourself, but instead be strong in the Lord. And so let's unpack that. Verse 10 of chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Today we will focus on starting here in verse 18. Are you ready? He says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me. The words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Here, he has challenged the church at Ephesus, and I believe has challenged us to be strong. So yes, we are to put on the armor of God. Yes, we are. And in doing that, we will stand against the fiery darts. But he tells us, even with all of that, to do something that goes beyond, but to pray at all times. Because this is where the power comes from. This is the dependence that you and I need. And so as we bow before the Lord right now, before we go into his presence, before we bow and just speak things that we want to say to him, I want to challenge us to realize who it is we bow before. And in doing so, not rush into words, but to come before him realizing that we need him. And so this is an act of humility. And so let's bow before the Lord, knowing that he is God and has all authority and power. Let's bow. Father, we bow before you right now. We know that you are here with us because of the promise of your word. And so, God, we humbly just want to acknowledge our dependence and our need for you. Jesus reminded us that apart from you, we can do nothing. Oh, God, forgive us when we do so much apart from you. Forgive us when we rush into your presence with a list of things we want you to do, instead of humbly coming before you, knowing that your plan is much better than ours. Even right now, help us to not allow our minds to drift to things that really don't matter. But instead, help us to realize that before you, help us to see ourselves as we truly are. And so God, even though we are undeserving, we ask that you would speak to us today. Help us to have a perspective that is different than the one that we carry each and every day. We ask that you would open our eyes to see. Give us a heart to serve. Give us a boldness to obey. We believe that you have a will and a plan, and so help us to be surrendered to that. Humbly, we ask that you would speak to us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." To him who is able to do far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Oh, man, that's what I want, right? I want to bow before a God who there is nothing that I could ever think about that could be outside of his ability. And so when we approach God, I cannot speak for you, but I can only speak for me. There are many times that I pray in such generalities that really if God were to answer, I really wouldn't even be able to see his hand. And we'll unpack that a little bit more, but so many times I think that we come to him and we don't really depend upon him. We can come with a posture of, here's what I want you to do. How arrogant is that? To go to a God who has a plan and has, and you are to surrender to that plan and yet to go and to say, I need you to do this. Many times we plan things and then even as a church, and we'll beg him to bless our plans instead of come and seek his. And so here, in chapter 6, he says to be strong in the Lord and in his strength. And so he tells us to put on this armor in which we'll be able to stand against the schemes of the enemy. And it's important that we do that because our battle is not against flesh and blood. And so because our battle is not against flesh and blood, we need to be sure to not let flesh and blood keep us from doing what God has called us to do. We must make sure that when someone wrongs us, that we remind ourselves, my battle's not against them. When someone does something against our pride, or does something against my things, or that affects my life, that I'm reminded, my battle's not against man. And so therefore, it would drive us all the more to come to the presence of God, knowing that he is the one in the spiritual realm that can do, that he's the only one that can do anything. And it really takes then the pressure off. I was thinking about this morning as I come to stand and open God's word. Am I worthy to do that? The weight of that is hard to bear at times. And I think about, you know, am I filled with the Holy Spirit? What I say, is that come from him? Have I surrendered to him in such a way? And I say all of that just to say that I want you to know that I have come to this place where I realize that there is nothing that I can do in my own ability that would do anything for you. Like, I have nothing to offer you. But because of God's word and the power of his word, and because of the Spirit in which goes forth, I am fully dependent upon him. The only way anyone would ever understand the gospel and then surrender their lives to it is if God helps them to see that. That is, and so because of that, I am free. I am free of that responsibility other than just to come and to depend upon him, to trust him for what he does. And so how do we pray? Couple of things I want to see. The first one is that we are to pray at all times. And so this talks about the frequency of that. Now, just being honest with you, there are other verses like in Thessalonians where it says to pray without ceasing. These things can become almost, well, like, how does that live out? Like, what is the application of that? And it doesn't necessarily mean you walk with your head bowed and your eyes closed praying to God, but it is this reality that you know that God is with you. And so as he'll say later on, is that you're to be alert, you're to be watchful, you're to interact with God throughout the day. And so as you approach people, as you approach situations, you know that he is there and that he is at work. And so it's a trusting and a yielding to who he is. Because here's what happens. If we don't live with that awareness, then we'll be distracted. We'll be distracted with all the cares of the world. We'll be distracted with all that we got to do. And we still got to do. We have responsibilities, but we can do them in and with God with us, or we do them on our own. You see that? And sadly, we have created routines where we do them on our own. And so it's taking these commands and acknowledging that God is right there with us and even asking questions along the way. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? Which brings you glory? And it brings a reality of and a responsibility in every moment of every day, every conversation that I have, every person that I begin to talk to. So I'm to pray throughout the day and at all times. And then he even goes to say what kind of praying. We're to pray in all power. So we're to pray in the Spirit. And I want to point out here in verse 18, as he says to pray at all times in the Spirit, that it is a capital S here. So it's talking about praying in the Holy Spirit or through the Holy Spirit. This is the power in which we pray. There is a personalized prayer that we can do that is in our own strength. And then I believe there is a prayer that happens as we do so, being led by and in the power of the Spirit. And to help us understand that, in Romans chapter 8. You can turn there with me if you would. Romans chapter 8. Hold your spot. We'll be right back to Ephesians. But in Romans chapter 8, he tells us here about our weakness. In chapter 8, verse 26, he says, "Likewise, the Spirit," or capital S, so the Holy Spirit, "helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought." Man, we don't know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what we should be praying for. And so that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us even as we pray. He says, "But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Elsewhere, it tells us that the Spirit will bring to remembrance even things that Jesus said to us. And so even as we pray, I believe that the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit will give us understanding, or will help us or bring to remembrance things that we should be praying. Promises of God and His Word. I love praying Scripture. I believe that I'm never the greatest prayers that I can pray are those that agree with the will and the plan of God, because He's already said them. So we're to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we can intercede. These talks about not only in the power, but it's important for us to come humbly to realize that we don't know how to pray or what specifically to pray for. But this brings to all sorts of questions, right? We know in Ephesians 5, he tells us, verse 18, that we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so even as we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit and praying the Spirit, it brings all sorts of questions. And depending upon backgrounds, or even maybe some own experiences of life or friends that you have, this brings questions like, well, is he talking about speaking in tongues here, right? This is a question that is asked to this verse all the time. And so To help us understand that a little bit, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I know we're jumping around here, but I just think it's important to us to have these questions answered. In 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 14, listen to what he says here. He says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit," you see that, my little s, my spirit, so not talking about the Holy Spirit, but my spirit, "prays, but my mind is unfruitful." Verse 15, "What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak 5 words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue." And I say this at all, we're not teaching upon the gift of tongues here, but talking more so, speaking of praying. As he talks about here, he's talking about my spirit, little s, talking about the spirit within me, that it is possible that the spirit can pray. And when he prays that the mind is not fruitful in that, meaning the mind is not engaged or even know what the spirit within me is praying. And not only that, is elsewhere in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, it talks about that not everyone has the gift of speaking in tongues. So he couldn't here in Ephesians 6 be commanding us to speak in other tongues, where he says to pray in all things in the Spirit. Are you tracking with me? So if everyone doesn't have this gift of speaking in tongues, he couldn't then be commanding us all to pray in tongues. Do you see what I'm saying? And so I believe in Ephesians, he's talking about you and I to pray in the power and through the power of the Holy Spirit that leads us to the will of God. We don't know how to pray or what to pray, so therefore we are dependent upon the Lord to help us in that, to show us, to lead us to His will, that by walking with Him and knowing His voice, that we'll be led to intercede in situations that otherwise we would have maybe known nothing about. And so We're to pray and we're to seek him. And so third, then, he points us to is to pray with all prayers, all kinds of prayers, and I believe in all postures of prayer. Throughout the Bible, we see postures of prayer on our face or on our knees or sitting down or sometimes weeping or wailing or whatever it may be. We're to pray all of those prayers, but not only just general prayers, but very specific prayers. When you and I pray specific prayers, it is when God answers those prayers that we step back and say, wow, God just allowed me to be a part of what he was doing in this very moment. And man, if you're not praying very specific prayers, then I think that sometimes we're not walking with God in such a way to know his faithfulness or that he answers or that he hears. And so we're to pray specifically. Last week, Drew and I were talking about where we would be today and then also next week as we're talking about prayer. And he sent me this text as he was listening to a podcast, and I think this, I'm not sure if this is a word for word, but it's his maybe takeaway from it, but he says, from a podcast by Robbie Gallaty. He says, many times we pray prayers that show our lack of dependence upon God. We often pray prayers asking God to do something that we can accomplish in our own strength. Our prayers sometimes need to be bigger. It would do us good if we frequently ask God to do things that only He can do. Praying big prayers helps us grow in our trust and dependence upon Him. And then just kind of sharing the heart of the podcast, he says, what are you praying for that you know only God can do? Do your prayers show dependence upon Him? And so if you and I are to reflect about the things that we have prayed and asked God to do, do our prayers reflect our dependence upon Him or even our faith that He would answer such prayers? And so, not only are we to pray all kinds of prayers, but we're to be keeping alert. He tells us here, in verse 18, he says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. We're to keep alert. We're to be watchful. One of the things about praying specific prayers, you're watchful to see if God is going to answer those. And not only being watchful for specifically the prayers, but you're being watchful in even how to pray. And so I want to challenge us. When we're talking about how to pray, we're to watch. We're to be alert. We're to think about. We're to see where God is already at work in people's lives and then pray for that end. And then we're to pray for all the saints. We need the power and presence of God in our day-to-day lives, and we need this in each other. I think I've mentioned this before, but and Drew actually even pointed to this prayer this morning in Colossians chapter 1. But I love Paul's prayer in Colossians 1. Starting in verse 9, he starts to ask that the Colossians, the people at Colossae, would be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. And that as they have the knowledge of the will of God, that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, that they would, that ultimately they would increase in their knowledge of God. And I think that so many times we miss that, that we increase in the knowledge of God, not just in head knowledge, but in experiential knowledge. Like when you step out in faith and you know that God is faithful, right? That is a knowledge of God that you can't know any other way. And so when you and I bear fruit in every good deed, when we step out and live lives worthy of the gospel, there's this increasing knowledge of God that only leads us to step out in faith the next time. Some of you, as you've been called to go on mission trips and you step out in faith, sometimes fearful, knowing nothing about what will happen there, you see in doing that, you see that God gives grace in every moment. He gives you words when you didn't know what words to say. He gives you strength when you're worn out. He gives you this courage. And you see, my prayer is in those times, God would bring you back home to where you realize that's here as well. You'd step out courageously and boldly to do the things that God has called us to do. that we would have our minds set upon eternity to the things that we are called to do. And so then he asks that we would be strengthened. We would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. Amen? The same place where we started. Be strong in the Lord and in his might. It's not in our own. We don't just muster up some sort of strength. This is the whole point. We are not strong. And so this prayer in Colossians is that we'll be strengthened. We'll be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Because he is strong. We are not. And that we'll give thanks. Oh, that we'll give thanks in everything that we do. And this that this strength that comes from him will be for endurance. And that not only with endurance, but patience and joy. And that we'll give thanks. Why? This is where Drew pointed us. We'll give thanks to the Father because he, you know what he has done? He has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. That he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, I love the prayer that Paul prays for the Colossians, and I believe for us, and it is my prayer that you and I will be strengthened. Not that we'll just, oh, I'm strong, I need to step out in this, but no, with the Holy Spirit kind of strength. Oh, we are to pray for all the saints. But not only that, Paul ends this in verse 19 and 20, and he says, and also for me. I was taken aback a little bit as I studied this, just that here Paul, one of the greatest theologians, missionaries the world has ever known, and he is saying, pray for me that I will be strong. Pray for me that I'll have the words to say. What? I mean, when you look at Paul's travels and the things that you've done, but yet he didn't pray for physical help. He didn't pray, you know, these shackles around my wrists and my ankles, you know, they're really causing these horrible sores. Will you pray that God would free me of those? Or will you pray that I'll no longer be in these chains, but instead that I'll be free? No, you know what he prayed for? That even in these chains, as an ambassador, knowing who he is, as an ambassador of God, that I'll know, that I'll have the words to say, and that I'll be strong. That the words may be given to me, and opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Oh, that is my prayer. That you and I, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being strengthened, you know, we're weak, but being strengthened with his might, his power, that you and I will have this boldness, this holy boldness to make him known. In Paul's letter to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says this in verse 16 and 18, talking about a time when he was arrested. He says, as for my defense, no one came to stand by me. He says, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. The perspective of Paul was, you know, everyone deserted me. I was all alone, but the Lord stood by me. He strengthened me. And you know what? He gave me a boldness to be able to make his gospel known. And you know what? I'll be rescued. Even if it means death, he's going to bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. Huh. We've talked about this before. What do you do? What do you do with someone like that, right? What do you do with somebody that there is nothing you can do? If you kill them, they're good with that because then they get to go be with their treasure. You and I, my prayer is that we will understand God's call for us and we'll follow him. And that we will be dependent upon him. He alone changes hearts. This week, actually just a couple of days ago on Friday, I preached a funeral for a gentleman who was 75 years old. And He was hard. He was a Vietnam vet. He was proud. He was arrogant. And his lifestyle ultimately left him all alone. And one day, I mean, he had been estranged. He didn't talk to his kids anymore. He hadn't talked to his siblings. And they told me one of them was 35 years. The other one was more than that. But one day, his sister, a believer, felt like that the Holy Spirit wanted her to just reach out to him. So on Facebook, she sent a message. He responded. She asked him what he was doing. He's like, well, I made up with cancer. I'm just sitting here waiting to die. And so she asked him to call her, and he did. And so she, in the conversation, began to ask him, so if you were to die, do you know where you would spend eternity? And he says, well, my son, ever since he was 14, which his son is my age, has been sharing with me about Jesus and praying for me. I know he has. But you know, I just have so many questions. And so she began calling him each day. She would give him verses and scripture passages to read, and he did. And he began to ask questions. One day he called her and he says, what are you doing Saturday? And she goes, well, I don't really have anything planned. What are you doing? He is like, well, I'm coming to see you. And I'm going to give my life to Jesus. Yeah. And so he did. He went and seen her, gave his life to the Lord. A couple weeks later, his son, who he had not talked to in a while, he had called his son and he had told him about his decision, and his son got to baptize him. And it wasn't but just a couple of months later that he passed away. But I tell you that because I know his son, and his son has prayed for his dad year after year. Our God hears our prayers. And it wasn't because his son spoke and shared and did all these things. It was because his son was faithful. And we have a God who hears, and we have a God who speaks and who draws and who, man, takes people when they are at their end of themselves, and he gives them hope. And I tell you that to say, you and I, we are dependent upon the Lord. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to pray. As we depend upon him, listen, he'll lead us to the hurting. He'll bring people along our path who are lonely. He will, those who have no hope and don't even know it yet, they will start to come into our paths. And as you pray and as you seek him, he will allow you and I to be a part of what he's doing all over the world. And so, today, we pray prayers in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit. And I don't say this with just some sort of, you know, mystical, that sounds so weird. I say this because we have a God who is with us and in us. And he wants to lead us. He wants to lead us in ways that bring hope to this world that there is no hope. He wants to lead us in such a ways that we experience his closeness and his power. So trusting. And so as we come before the Lord, we do so with a dependence upon him, trusting, call to him. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, in this moment, as we bow in your presence, we don't do this just to close a service, but right now, we are dependent upon you. Jesus reminds us that apart from you, we can do nothing. Oh, help us to believe that. Help us to live that way. I pray that we'll be empowered, that we'll be led by, that we'll trust you and your Spirit. And so we praise you. We thank you for delivering us from the domain of darkness. We thank you for the redemption that is in Jesus. We praise you for that. As you bow before the Lord, being careful just to speak, praying according to His will, would you just worship Him in this moment? Maybe thank Him for what He has done. For the access to the presence of God. In this moment, would you pray for our community? Maybe a neighbor, a friend, a family member who doesn't know the Lord. We're dependent upon Jesus to change their lives. Maybe there's a relationship that has been hard or strained. Would you pray for that? We are dependent upon Jesus to transform lives. Maybe pray for someone who doesn't know Him by name. We're dependent upon Jesus that they come to know Him. Would you pray for the person on your right? Maybe you don't even know their name, their struggles, their trials. But as we pray for the saints, would you pray that they would be empowered by the Spirit to live the life that God has called them to? Would you pray that they would know God? They would trust Him. Now pray for the person on your left. Pray for this faith family. Would you pray that workers of the harvest would be raised up? Would you pray that lives would be changed? Would you pray that we would be known for the love that we show one another? Pray for a boldness and a courage to overcome the temptation that they've been, that we've all been fighting. This morning, would you pray for our missionary partner? We'll call it the E family. Would you pray that they, specifically today, that God would give them wisdom in what they are to do next? Huge decision to be made. Would you pray for the unreached people group, the Thai Dom, that God, dependent upon Him to tear down walls that are up, that we would call to God, there would be a mighty movement of a Spirit among this unreached people group. The believers would have a boldness and a courage to proclaim Him. And then just as Paul prayed for himself, would you ask God to lead you to His will? Ask Him to give you a faith and a boldness to proclaim Him. maybe this morning, if you don't know him, would you ask for a courage today to place your faith in Jesus? Oh God, we are dependent upon you. This mission that you have given us to make disciples of all nations, we can do nothing apart from you. And so we ask that you would help us in our lives on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment basis, that we would fall to our knees, completely dependent upon your power. And that when you lead us to do something with great boldness and courage, we will be obedient to your call. So God, we need you. Lead and guide us. We love you so much. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.